in Studio B with Charlie Parr. Welcome to Spindale.
Thank you. Appreciate being on.
Very glad to have you touring in support of Stump Jumper, your new record, playing at the Grey Eagle in Asheville tonight. Can you let us know what it's going to sound like?
I can play a little bit for you.
Take a look at their big house, bigger than they really needed. Got the dualies on his pickup when the dealer gave him a choice. Now he's lost his job on the build site and struggling to feed his boys. And the red cedar grows, red cedar flows, and long after you're gone, it's outlasting you. But they can't bear to go. Now they couldn't go if they wanted to. There ain't no work anywhere anymore. And the red cedar grows, red cedar flows, and long after you're gone, it's outlasting you. Serving food down at Bud's, and he can't stand to see her down there where the desperate men sit and drink, stare a little bit too long at her legs. He goes home with the kids at night and hides the worry on his face. And the red cedar grows, red cedar flows, and long after you're gone, it's outlasting you. Can't play outside like it used to be. You know exactly what's lurking out there. Well, you can see it on the news every night. And the village that it takes to raise our kids is afraid to come outside. And the red cedar grows, red cedar flows, and long after you're gone, it's our last in you. Tuesday afternoons are the hardest. Time just seems to stand still. Now they piled up quite a few of them. About 20 years was not quite 3 o'clock. Time moves as fast as it ever did. There ain't nothing you can do to slow it down. The red sea grows, the red sea flows, and long after you're gone, it's our last in you.
The beautiful 12-string guitar, Charlie Parr on WNCW. CharlieParr.com, you can find out all about him, and that's two R's, Charlie Parr, recording Stump Jumper in North Carolina. Your first trip outside of the state of your home state of Minnesota to record a record. Tell us about that experience recording up here in Hillsboro.
Oh, it was beautiful. I've been friends with Phil Cook for a long time, and he managed to find a little farm in Hillsboro, Down Yonder Farm. And I was on tour back in October, and I just kind of came through. We did a show together in Raleigh, and it was a beautiful setting in the trees, and some guys that I just immediately kind of fell in place with and felt comfortable with. And we did the whole record in 14 hours. It was just natural as it could possibly be. We just sat in a back room in this barn and in a big circle and just played together. And when it got all done and dusted, and I thought it turned out better than any recording I'd done up to that point, just because of how comfortable everybody felt with it, you know.
Well, this is kind of your MO for recording records. It's not a lot of studio time for you.
No, I don't really have a lot of experience with studios. I'm sure they're fine, but I just like finding comfortable spots. I like to be in a situation where I feel like I can do my best and not have to worry so much. And I think that comes out in the records. You know, when I'm feeling comfortable, I think that shows.
Charlie Parr is at the Great Eagle in Asheville tonight, and then tomorrow in Charlotte at the U.S. National Whitewater Center, touring in support of Stump Jumper. You have an amazing history, a fascinating sort of background. It's neat to read about your growing up, not in Duluth, but in Minnesota. Your parents worked at the Spam Factory.
Yeah, both my folks and my sister still works at Hormel's, and I kind of got out before I got over there to work, so I've been doing this for a long time now. But my dad always encouraged me to go find something you want to do, you know, and do that. Don't wait.
So it seems like your dad was a big influence musically as you grew up listening to records like Charlie Patton and Doc Boggs in a time when you have to think that Minneapolis was kind of the center of the pop world for that stretch of time with Prince and the Replacements and all these bands that were from right in your own backyard, sort of, but you weren't in that mindset at all.
No, I wasn't. And I mean, I listened to a lot of different kinds of music and you know, definitely had a couple of moments there with Husker Du that, you know, I think a lot of us had, but the music that you know, kind of moved me the most, or, you know, set that fire in me, was always, especially, you know, kind of pre-war acoustic blues and real old folk music, you know. And those are the records I kind of wore out in my dad's collection, you know, literally. I like to draw, I like to doodle, and if I run out of paper, I'd go to the record collection and take out those paper inserts, you know, because those are good. You know, draw a nose. When you run out of those, you know, the covers, if you split the sides and fold them out, there's one big expanse to draw on. So my record collection is about half just records, no covers.
And he didn't mind?
No. Okay. He was a pretty easygoing guy.
That's great.
He wanted the music. That's what he wanted.
We've got Charlie Parr in Studio B on WNCW this afternoon, and he's switched over to the National Resonator. It's a beautiful guitar.
Thank you. It's a new one, actually, so.
Too old, remember me if I forget. what you want. Remember me, forgive. Where I worked for my living, I didn't follow my dream. Remember me,
WNCW and Studio B. Live Studio B sessions on WNCW are made possible by Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. And loving that resonator, which is like as much a machine as it is an instrument.
It is. It is. It's they're a beautiful thing. I don't remember how old I was when I got my first one, but I gave away everything I had to get it and didn't have a different. I didn't have another guitar for about the next 18 months because I sold them all to get what I had. And I was just immediately taken with the sound, and I still am. I mean, I've got, you know, the 12 string, but if I had to get rid of something, it would be the 12 string over the National, because I love this sound so much. And you can, I mean, they're as mechanical as they are instrumental. I've gotten pretty good at tearing them down and kind of working on them.
What do you do when you tear it down and work on it?
Well, at some points, you know, anything that moves, you know, it gets little squeaks and squeals and stuff like that, and they need to be, you know, maintained. They collect dust inside the resonator, and it'll make noise once in a while. They need to be, the cover plate needs to be taken off, and, you know, I'm sure that, you know, any of the companies that build them would suggest that, you know, you not do this at home, but it's too much fun to resist. And so I've done my own repairs on them, and even the owner of the company, he's become friends of mine, and rather than see me destroy guitars through ignorance, he's talked me through field repairs over the phone. So it's good.
Tell us about learning to play. You were self-taught banjo and guitar, is that right?
Well, yeah, I mean I guess so. I hesitate to use the term, because I was, when I was young, my dad got me a guitar, you know, and my guitar heroes were guys like Mance Lipscomb and Mississippi John Hurt and, you know, Reverend Gary Davis. And in the little town that I was in, you know, there wasn't a lot of people there wasn't anybody that I knew that was playing that kind of music. The neighbor was a banjo player who, you know, played Scruggs style banjo, but, you know, he didn't do anything else. And so I just kind of sat down and started trying to learn my own with Dad's records. And then when I got old enough that I could go see people play, I mean, I would go to Minneapolis and see like Dave Ray and Spider John Kerner, you know. And so in a lot of ways, I think that, you know, that was my teaching, was, you know, just obsessively sitting in front of the speakers, retuning the guitar, trying to figure out how to make those sounds. I'm still doing it, you know. I'm definitely a long ways from feeling like I've learned much of anything, but I'm doing my best.
So nobody in your family played?
No. My dad sang constantly. He loved music a lot, and he sang the words to thousands of songs, but he'd never learned how to play, and he was a, you know, laborer all his life. And by the time I came along, he was in his 40s and already had had back surgery and, you know, worked, was hard working, but, you know, worked 10 hours a day in a meatpacking factory. So it's hard to learn an instrument, I guess.
Well, Phil Cook, who you played with on your new record, he also was originally from up north, but I think he's moved to North Carolina now.
Yeah, he lives in Durham. He's from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, which isn't too far from where I am now. And he's been, I actually didn't meet him when he was living up north. I met him since he had moved down here, but we became fast friends pretty much immediately, so...
You're touring in Asheville tonight at the Grey Eagle and Charlotte tomorrow at the U.S. National Whitewater Center. What else is on the near horizon?
I am going from Charlotte up to Wilmington, Delaware to play at the World Cafe Live. I've got the Friendly Gathering this weekend. I'm heading back towards Chicago and Stoughton, Wisconsin before I turn around and drive back to New York City and Cambridge and stuff like that. So it's a unique kind of routing experience. But eventually then I'll go home for a little while and then head out again. It's been good.
We're live with Charlie Parr in Studio B. Have you got another song?
Oh, sure. This is kind of a...
Hello. stayed up late drinking in the backseat of Frank's old Ford. Stayed up late drinking in the backseat of Frank's old Ford. That man, if he's gone.
WNCW. Now, there's some dark humor if I've ever heard it. Frank Miller Blues, that's on your new record, Stump Jumper.
Yeah.
I love the take on that. You don't hear a lot of, you know, the popular music of our day doesn't deal with death and dying like it used to with blues tunes like that.
It's kind of a shame, actually. Not that it's happy, but it's something that you know, it's part of our life. You know, it's got to be involved in our life, and thinking about it and talking about it. But I've been obsessed with it for a long time, so it just kind of comes out in my stuff. You know, I didn't start writing songs until after my dad had passed away, and then I started doing that as kind of a way to deal with grief, I guess. And so, you know, it's colored by that event.
Yeah, the characters really come to life in this. You've painted a pretty big picture with you know, really concise, you know, lyrically. You could just see Frank's wife, and she's not mad as much that he's dying in one sense, that he's not going to be with her. She's kind of mad that he's doing what he's been doing and he's not got everything done.
Right.
How do you come up with your characters?
I think I'm a failed short story writer. I like to write, but I'm not very good at it. And I do it kind of a lot. And then it's embarrassing, so I'm not going to show anybody those. But I can distill them a little bit and kind of milk them for songs. And so, you know, the process ends up being like that, where it's a story, even if it's a bad one, before it was a song. And so that's how it happens.
Well, despite getting a relatively late start musically in life, you've had a good bit of success. I mean, a lot of records. This is, I think, your first record with a full band. Is that correct?
It is. I've played with string bands, bits and pieces here and there, accompanists, washboard players and harmonica players once in a while. But this is the first time I've had an opportunity to use a traditional kind of, you know, rhythm section and a piano. It's very, you know, I don't know that I'll have an opportunity to do it again, but I really enjoyed it.
And you've had some success outside the States. Tell us about the song 1922 Blues making a kind of a hit in Australia.
Yeah, well, I have a friend in Australia who's a filmmaker, and he wanted to use some of my music in one of his films, which I thought that was just fine and dandy. He also makes commercials to make money, you know. And had used one of my songs in one of his commercials that he was for like a phone company or something silly like that. It didn't fit at all. It didn't make any sense to me. But what happened was it got on the TV, and then the song ended up on the radio. And I ended up touring. I've toured Australia 7 times now. And, you know, it's the silliest kind of thing. But I was happy to get to go and see Australia. It's a beautiful place, but it's a weird way to get to go anywhere, you know.
That's great to know that roots music from America can resonate in modern day Australia and parts around the world.
Yeah, as I travel around, I'm finding that you know, American folk and roots music is resonating in a lot of places. It's nice. You know, I've played in places before where the people that I've played for in other countries have known just as much or more about American folk music and blues as a lot of people here, you know. So it's been encouraging.
Are there any other folks that are from Minnesota or from your travels that you've been playing with that we should know about?
Well, Minnesota's got a pretty busy music scene these days. My friends Trampled by Turtles are apparently hitting the big time, and they're doing great, and I get to see them a lot. And the Lowest Pair, a couple who played banjos, are fantastic. You know, there's just a lot of good music. It's just before I left, I stopped. I did shows with Eric Koskinen, who's a songwriter from way up in the UP, and I was thinking then, you know, it's really pretty amazing to think that, you know, we're all kind of in a position now. Well, I think a lot of the country is in this position now, and I know that, you know, being over in the Triangle with Phil, I thought this too, that, you know, people are taking up instruments in a pretty active way, which I think is encouraging, you know, because folk music for me is about that kind of participation and about access to music that we all, it's all, you know, it's our music. We all get to play it, you know. And I'm really seeing a lot of that now, especially in Minnesota.
Charlie Parr is on WNCW in Studio B this afternoon. CharlieParr.com, that's spelled with two R's. He's playing at the Great Eagle tonight in Asheville and at the U.S. National Whitewater Center in Charlotte tomorrow. Have you got one more for us?
I sure do, yeah.
Said to my face, I live on the moon, every natural place, north of the Red River, where the snow goes deep. I hunt for survival upon the ground where I sleep. When I pass by, Lord, please cover up my tracks. When I pass by, when I pass by, when I
Charlie Parr and the tune Falcon from his new one. It's called Stump Jumper on Red House Records, live in Studio B on WNCW. We're Studio B Sessions